Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where you'll discover how the evolution in consciousness is paving the way for your leading role in architecture. If you're a high-achieving, spirit-conscious woman architect who's hearing the deep call to bridge spirit with form, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. My name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm an architect, alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting-edge vessel of courses and programs for property owners, land stewards, women architects who are longing to bridge spirit with form to birth their dream sanctuaries. So today I'm delighted to have a special guest on my podcast. She's a dear colleague and has been on our amazing interview series, the Sacred Blueprint for our New Earth interview series. I just love having conversation with her about what's possible when we bridge energy, spirit, and nature's frequencies with architecture. So it's my absolute delight and joy to have Valentina Cereda on the show. Hello, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are absolutely welcome. It's a delight to have you, Valentina. So for my community members who don't know about you, I would love for you to share, how did you transition from conventional architecture to now weaving feng shui, bioenergetics, biogeometry, and EMF mitigation and land energetics into your architecture practice?
Well, it all started when I was working at my last company in American corporate, before I started Energy and Space, which is now my my design studio. And I worked for about 10 years, I would say 10 or 12 years in companies. I studied architecture, sort of conventional architecture, interior design, landscape. And as I started working, I was learning a lot. So very grateful for that experience and learning. But then I reached a point where I realized the way we were designing spaces, it had something that was completely missing. I could not pinpoint exactly what it is, but I had a feeling something was off. We were designing, you know, very fast, following the same details, the same principles. And, you know, spaces felt, they were beautiful. They looked aesthetically beautiful. But in some cases, either they didn't feel good or they didn't smell good because of all the environmental toxin from the materials that we use in conventional architecture. And that led me to start a journey of learning. I wanted to understand, you know, how can I make spaces healthier, using healthier materials? How can I remove all these disruptors, you know, that we don't see, the invisible frequencies, invisible electromagnetic fields? Because as I was working in this company, technology connectivity started becoming more and more prevalent in our spaces. So I started, you know, understanding what is this, like, this is bringing, you know, a huge amount of frequencies in a space that we are very new to it. Mm. It's something that we as humans have been used to it for, you know, for all our existence on Earth. So I wanted to understand more about these electromagnetic fields. Are they actually, you know, safe to be in our environments? How can I detect them? How can I mitigate them? So, and then, of course, all the spiritual aspect of the spaces. I started with the classical feng shui, then sacred geometry, land energy, dowsing. So it's a journey of many years. And at the time, because it was before 2020. There was no online courses, so which was exciting because I was traveling all the time to US, to Singapore, to Italy, to learn everything that I wanted, you know, throughout the years, which was nice, a bit more complicated than now, but I made it work. So this is how it started. So it's literally started with the feeling, and then I started putting pieces of the puzzle together, and that's it. Yeah. And years wow. later, it took me now here where I am with my work. I now practice, I integrate classical feng shui in all projects, land energy through the practice of dowsing, using the pendulums. I'm also a building biologist and electromagnetic fields specialist. So it's literally a balance between the more spiritual, esoteric side, let's say, an ancient wisdom part of the work, and 50% pure contemporary sciences. So to really remove the physical disruptors, so not only the spiritual energetic disruptors, but also the physical ones, so pollutants and electromagnetic fields, because yeah. I do believe in balance. You know, we live in a physical world, we are matter, and we're also spiritual. So I feel combining everything and integrating all of these aspects into a space, it's at least it works for me. It's something that I find very powerful for my work, my clients, and projects. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing, Valentina. Yeah, and it absolutely, the balance between the physical, material and the spiritual, this ancient wisdom with also the pure science, maybe more contemporary, modern, whatever you want to call it, and maybe even the future. I would be bold enough to say that this is the future. This is the way to do it in the future. And that, you know, you're a pioneer, Valentina, and you're paving the way for builders, property owners, right? Architects who are also very sensitive to energy, to space, and really long to create healing spaces, right? On a deep level, more than just the aesthetics, right? You were talking about that, you know, when you were working in conventional practice, it's like, okay, the projects are beautiful, but what more? And were you also faced with like feeling ill or uneasy, or like did you get like irritated by like certain toxic environments? Can you tell us a little bit about how that felt for you? Like, would you consider yourself to be sensitive to?
I mean, maybe yes, a little, yes, but I think everyone is. It's just that maybe some people don't realize it. So there are certain, you know, when I used to go to sites at the time that used all the chemicals, the stuff, the toxins, I always would live with headaches. I would always have a runny nose, respiratory problems. I was constantly sick. But I'm quite lucky because I don't get as ill as some of the clients I work with that I help improving the health of their home, because they cannot work if they are in touch with certain pollutants. They cannot function.
They can't even go near it. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. So for me, it's I think we all get affected somehow. It's just how much you are conscious about it.
I find that too, that I'm fairly protected to the geopathic stress. Like I can feel it. So for those of you in the audience who don't know what geopathic stress is, it could be a whole number of things, but I'll give you an example. Like, I don't know, like a toxic water line, although toxic water lines make me feel more ill for sure on the land, but I'd find that I can generally be with the dark, sludgy yin. absorptive energies on the land. And what I pictured you actually when you said that you're not as sensitive as some of your clients, I think that's an advantage for you too, because I pictured you like almost like a firefighter, you know, like going into the fire of like the soup of, you know, the soup of not so pretty, not so great energies to be able to help your clients mitigate and balance and harmonize and then build and design a beautiful project out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's, it is, luckily I don't get so sick. Yeah. Otherwise I would be constantly ill. Yeah. Because I go to some, these huge mansions, you know, that costed $1 million to be built. And they are very, very unhealthy spaces, unfortunately, sometimes. So I visit a lot of these spaces, and the fact, yes, that I don't get very ill, it's definitely a positive thing.
Yeah, that is a positive thing. Hey, this is Aisha popping in here to let you know about my free webinar. This is where you're going to discover how to unlock your spirit architect mastery, and it's going to support you to magnetize amazing clients who love paying you top dollar for your intuitive gifts. You're going to magnetize soul liberating health and overflowing creativity, birthing the sanctuaries of our new earth. I also offer an exclusive resource that I don't share publicly. This is the Sacred Blueprint Sweet Spot Profit Map. This is where you're going to gain tools that are going to support you to ditch the depletion of conventional practice in order to build a prospering architecture practice, bridging spirit with form. So make sure you sign up below for your free access, and on with the interview. Before you share some of your amazing projects with the audience, and if any of you are listening to the audio, the podcast, I highly recommend you hop on over to my YouTube channel to watch the video of this podcast, because Valentina in a moment will be sharing some of her recent projects where you can see energy and architecture merged at work. Okay. So what would be some examples, Valentina, of an unhealthy space? You talked about these mansions that, you know, you were working on. Oh, they're really unhealthy. Okay. What would be some examples of that?
Okay. So examples are from an energetic perspective, when you enter, you know, this home, let's make one example of a home. It all looks very beautiful, tidy and organized and, you know, and pretty. But then you just feel drained when, you know, when you're there, like you feel like maybe the flow of energy is not right, or maybe there is some energy in the land that is out of balance. There is a space not harmonized in certain ways. Sometimes what I find, conventional architects, they play with these proportions in the space. So the ceiling height, they make things very high, very small, very wide. Especially modernism, very minimal contemporary architecture, for example. These proportions and these harsh surfaces, these very straight lines, they just, when they're put together in a certain way, they just don't make you feel good. Mm. They give a sense of coldness, unease. It's uncomfortable. From a picture perspective, you know, on the cover of an architectural magazine, that would be probably an amazing shot, right? Because you see that beautiful, huge ceiling, straight lines, minimal, blah, blah.
Maybe glass all around behind you too. Yeah.
Exactly. But then when you go and live in that space, it's not, you know, Correct. Something is off. So usually in that cases, that's when I do a land energy assessment. I check all the proportions with sacred geometry. I do a feng shui assessment and I try to understand, okay, is there anything that can be done without having to redesign and rebuild the home to help fix that energetic issue? Then the other issue I find in this type of homes is the materials used. Very often it's synthetics, synthetic floors, synthetic paint, a lot of synthetic fabrics, synthetic upholstery for the couches, or other, materials that are not meant to be in our homes. They're meant to be in a lab, or actually nowhere on earth, in my opinion, they should be made because they're very toxic. It's not only the problem of the petrochemicals, it's that there is a lot of additives and chemicals that are added to make a petrochemical become a hard surface or softer or looking in a certain way, in a certain color. And this is the major mistake or the major issue I find with conventional architecture. They want to achieve a look. And to achieve that look, they will do anything with that material, with chemicals and stuff to make it look like that. They will take a beautiful piece of wood from a tree, stain it with solvents to make it an exact
Resins and
of gray color or yellow color that it's not natural. So this is the other issue. It's all the pollutants in these homes that, again, have costed millions, but they're making the space healthy. But then you start looking at all the technology, the home automation everywhere. So they want to control everything with the phone.
Like smartphone, right? Smart homes, yes, smart homes,
Smartphones.
smart cities.
They want to open the windows with the phone. They want to turn on the AC with the phone. And all of this connectivity, it's possible because of an invisible network of electromagnetic fields. It's literally 4G, 5G technology inside your home. These homes become like filled with radiations, and it's so heavy that people don't realize it. Why are they feeling tired? Why they're not feeling good? It's always a mix of factors, but this is one of them. So that's one of the other main problems I find in these homes. And also the lighting, the artificial lighting that it's used is completely wrong. It flickers, even though you don't see it. But there is a lot of issue with light flickering, with the color temperature of the light, with the color render index of the light, a lot of blue color, not suitable for, a healthy environment. Everything is very disruptive of our circadian rhythm, of our health. So these are the main challenges. So sometimes I get called because people, again, and it just happened literally last 2 weeks ago, a beautiful home on the Palm in Dubai, a huge mansion, perfect, it looks stunning. And the family, the kids cannot sleep. It's so many issues that basically all of these things that I mentioned, it's all in there. So we've been trying to like peel the layers of everything. What can it be? Try to fix one thing, fix the other one. Very complicated, but possible. But this is, yeah.
And do you find that what would be your ideal client? Who would be your ideal client for that kind of an assessment? Are you finding that you're doing all the work to clean up the energetic mess or the toxic mess, or do you require your clients to do any implementation
Yeah, so
on their own as well?
it depends what we're dealing with. For this client, for example, just to talk about one case study, there were different challenges. So one was electromagnetic fields because all their bed headboards were filled with LED lights, concealed lights, which even when they're off, they're still emitting electric fields because the current is still getting into the light. So we got rid of that problem, and that needed, yes, the client to have someone to go and safely remove the LED light, and make sure the electricity is closed. So yes, in that case, there was a bit of input in that sense. And then we readjusted all the Wi-Fi connection in the house. So we needed, they had a smart home. So we got, I work with the smart home team and told them exactly what to do to fix that. So that's how it was done. But then after that was fixed, sleep has improved, but there was another issue, which was related more to the land energy aspect. And that was quite very intense experience, because with all the land energy work, there were two major Japatic stress lines, but also there were a lot of portals that were bringing in a lot of energies, let's say, and not very positive energies in the house.
Like, are you talking about like earthbound souls that don't want to exit? Are you talking about like kind of ghosts or entities?
It was, I think it was more entities. Sometimes not easy to define their name.
Sometimes it's not easy to make a distinction.
Entities that would not want to leave. Yeah. And some of the entities would wake up the one of the daughters at night. Mm. Some would, you know, the parents in their bedroom, they would feel air and they would be awakened at night by the movement of air. So that was difficult because, I'll tell you why, because after I did all my clearing work and everything, things were getting better, but then they would come back. That's when I figured that there was something related to the family from a generational perspective. And this is something that, you know, I had to ask the questions to the clients to understand, is there anyone in family doing some healing, because this is usually happening when by generation you have a history of being healers, energetic healers of a certain way. And that's when the wife told me, yes, actually, you know, both my mother and my husband's mother, they do heal with their hands. So now they call it Reiki, something similar. So their healers and their mothers were the same. And me and my husband also have that gift, but we don't use it as much. And the wife speaks with the spirits and she can see that people. I mean, I wish they've told me before, and it's also my mistake, I should have asked, but it's not a topic that you want to bring up with people that you don't know very well at the beginning, because they might get scared. They might, okay, what is she talking about? So it's not easy to.
It's an unfolding relationship, and it kind of is kind of like an energetic detective work. It's an investigation that unfolds through the conversation.
Exactly. So after that was uncovered, then I realized, okay, you need to talk to your mothers and do some clearing there, because it's not only the house and the land energy that has been fixed. Now you have to, but this, to be honest, doesn't happen very often. These type of people and families, to me at least, it didn't happen often in my experience of many years. So most of the times things can get remedied from a land energy perspective just by me doing the work. Certain remedies.
This was a deeper case study.
Unique.
I find that in those situations, like when I'm leading my clients through the sacred blueprint, and I do work with clients who are interested in going deep and healing themselves in order to heal the land, because we are so interconnected. I know that you know this, Valentina, that we attract a certain property for a reason, right? We have a certain energetic signature. You know, my husband and I and my son, we've all attracted this property that we're living on with all of its challenges and all of its beauties at the same time for a reason, because we are here to, this land is teaching us something. And so with the sacred blueprint, you know, we would be going deep into this investigation, just like what you're sharing, Valentina, about, you know, determining, is there something within you as the client, right, as the property owner, that is vibrating at the same frequency as these entities or whatever, not that she is them or the husband is them, right? But it just means that there's something to learn. There's a mirror, right? There's a mirror there. And it's a great opportunity for the property owners themselves to heal, not only themselves, but their families. And it's an ongoing process. You know, it's not like this big magic wand and, you know, boom, everything is rainbows and butterflies, but sounds like they were up for the job. So that's great. Yeah, that's great. Deeper work. Yeah, deeper work. Yeah, wonderful. So I'm excited for you to share your recent projects. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull them up here, Valentina. So everyone, make sure you hop on over to the YouTube. There, we always share the YouTube link within the podcast show notes. So make sure you click on it and hop on over to see our faces and see the architecture work that Valentina has been birthing recently. So, okay, let's just make sure we are up on our presentation here. All right. Woo! I'm so excited to hear about this project.
Thank you. So this is a wellness space in Dubai, where I live. And the client is gave me the branding guideline. The name is Dakari, which means light. Yeah. And in Japanese, and it's a kind of like a Japanese concept. She's also there is also like a brain bar, it's called, where she's making some coffees and some Japanese snacks and so on.
Wow.
So we started, you know, like any projects, understanding what the client wants to achieve and branding guidelines. That's why the color is this type of peach pink.
Yeah.
It's in their guidelines, it's basically like a peach color, but because this paint is a natural lime wash.
Oh, every time, so beautiful.
Yeah, it changes the tone every time, depending on the light, depending on the time of the day. So
it looks like Tadalakt, but it's not Tadalakt, right? The traditional Moroccan.
No, no.
It's a special type of paint, lime paint.
It's a lime-based paint, yeah. So it's basically completely natural. It's lime.
Yeah, it very much looks like the Tadalakt. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
And basically, so the process here was to the site visit. Of course, the space was shell and core, completely empty. And I did check the energy of the land. I did the feng shui assessment. And this is how the floor plan was created. So the first step, it's to basically explain to the client, look, this is where, you know, based on what you want to put into the space, which is a certain type of therapy rooms, the brain bar, an office space, the reception cashier, this is where we should put the space, you know, the cashier, people should be paying here, people should have the brain bar here, the therapist there. So everything aligned to the basically energetic grids of the space and so on. So this was the first step, defining the functionality through also the assessment of the energy of the space.
Yeah.
And then so the client had this vision. She wanted to have a quartz pyramid crystal in the space.
I was going to ask about that. I'm like, when is she going to talk about this big pyramid in the center of the space? Yeah.
So this is the client from the beginning. She told me about this. She wants to have this crystal. And so the way we integrated the crystal is basically this photo, the first one on the top, is when you enter the space from the door. And we wanted to have that crystal exactly in the center of the space. We created a dome on top. And that's a sunken seat, so that you step down two steps, because this was the max we could step down, and to create almost like a grounding space for the people that go and do these treatments. Keep in mind that it's important to mention the space was designed for a solo experience. So you go in by yourself, you can get some coffee, matcha, whatever you want in the brain bar, whatever they serve. You can wait in this sunken sitting area and then go into your room. So it's not meant for like a community type of thing. It's meant for like a solo healing experience.
Yeah.
So this space was designed for really grounding and just, you know, create a space where people start their journey.
Yeah.
And then they finish it also there. And the way it was, the way it was designed is through sacred geometry. So the dome, the proportions, the distance, the size of the pyramid crystal, because it was a custom-made piece made of quartz, rose quartz, which naturally has healing properties as as the crystal itself, and located exactly to create that almost like a vortex of energy between the dome, the crystal, and then resonating outward. And some of the very interesting stories, there is a nursery nearby this Akari, and the client tells me every morning the kids, as they walk by the space to go into their nursery, they run inside, they touch the crystal, and they leave.
Oh, that's so sweet. That is so sweet. Like, they know exactly what to do, don't they?
Yes.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So
yeah, it's like they're getting charged before they go to school or after or whatever. Oh, that's so sweet. That's such an example, isn't it? Of
it's
of
really
the power of what you've created with your client. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, for example, if you look at the bottom photo in the center, you see there is like a kind of an arch at the end of the corridor. There is like a circular artwork on the wall.
Yes, yes.
So all of these arches, this round shape, from a floor plan perspective up to the elevation and the detail of the size of that circle, for example, it's all designed with sacred geometry. So the proportions, the numbers, that circular element on the wall is basically 88.8 centimeters.
Okay.
So it's a very specific number. It's a very, so everything has been done with that approach. Even, you know, you see these linen panels that are filtering the light of the trees.
Yes. Okay. They're linen. Wow. Okay.
They're linen panels. And the site visit, we saw that there was this beautiful light coming through in the,
like, dappled light through the trees. Yeah. Yeah.
Morning time. So because the client wanted privacy, because we cannot have people, you know, seeing, walking them in the street, eating their lunch, or maybe even smoking in front of the wellness space. But we didn't lose light. We wanted the space to be filled with natural light. Then we created these panels with linen.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
You don't see outside, but you still get the light filtering through. And
yeah, and that will also, that will also help with the sound too, to break up the the reflectivity, right, off of the glass, which is one of the biggest issues in the glass box architecture, right, Valentina, when you were mentioning in your introduction about modernist architecture, and it may look good in the magazines, but when you're actually living in it, it can be very cold, highly reflective, too much sound is reflecting off of the hard surfaces. This is beautiful, Valentina. I mean, the proportions, I mean, they are singing through this space. And
and also,
and the lighting too is incredible, right? It's so much indirect light that you've designed there.
Yes, it's a lot of indirect light, and the materials are basically all natural as much as we could. So as an example, the flooring is a wood floor finished with linseed oil, so completely natural. The walls is lime wash, so it's completely natural. Even the reception desk that you see in the bottom left photo, that kind of rounded, it's all a lime wash. And then we have the linen. All the velvet upholstery is actually 100% cotton. There is no synthetic upholstery in the space.
Wow.
Also the wood veneer. It's a walnut that has been lacquered with a water-based paint. We couldn't go natural there, but at least there is no solvent.
At least it's water-based, yeah.
There is, you know, as I mentioned, there will always be compromise. You cannot eat 100% organic food in your life, and you cannot have 100% organic building. maybe it is possible, but you need to live in a certain, you know, not in Dubai, not in a city. But also, see, very important, we also looked at the AC system, you know, where the ducts are exactly located. Mm-hmm. Because that's very important. You cannot use all natural material and ignore the plumbing, the ducts, the AC, the ventilation. Yes. There is a system that calculates, for example, the CO2 levels. So if for any reasons the levels are higher, it will activate and tell the client that, and so on. So it's a full integrative solution.
Oh, it must be so amazing to receive treatment here and cleanse here and be nourished here. I mean, this is just congratulations, really, Valentina. This is such a beautiful space. Such a beautiful space.
Thank you.
I love it. I'm sure there's so much more to share about it. If there's anything else you want to share before you want to move to the next project.
No, I think the last thing is the interesting thing is that, you know, in these photos, the space look quite feminine. Actually, the space is feminine because this is a true reflection of the client. So, and the client brief what she wanted and who she is, how she wants her business to be represented in her space. Yeah. And was a very collaborative process with the client, and this is very important to create healing spaces. It's always a collaboration, and it's super important. So her name is Katya. She really drove also, you know, the design and the choices, and it was a very nice process. And she tells now that the space is mostly used by men, which is quite cool because, you know, this shows that, you know, when you do design a space with the right integration of different disciplines and elements, this is healing for everyone. It doesn't, even though aesthetically you would think, oh, this is feminine. It is feminine. I agree. It's not a masculine space, but actually men love it.
Men need the pink too.
Yeah, but it shows that there is something in the energetics, in the, you know, that attracts them because they want to be there.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, and I these men are probably, maybe you don't even realize how much the space is working them too. And helping them to be in touch with their feminine side as well, which is beautiful. Yeah, the mother. I feel Mother Earth through this project too. Like she's kind of like, it's like the luxurious Mother Earth, you know, like both really grounding and organic, but like high level and just shining and abundant. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks. We can go to the next project.
Okay. Fantastic. Let's do it. Ooh, this one's nice too. Earthy. Yeah.
This is very different because the location is in the south of Italy. It's in a place called Umbria. It's beautiful.
I've been to Umbria. It's beautiful there. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and this is a wellness space of about 2,200 square meters. part of a wellness resort. So our scope was only the wellness area, which has hydrotherapy, gym, fitness, a clinic, a medical clinic, a therapy, spa areas. So very comprehensive in terms of area program. Yeah. And the client brief is he wants a space that reflects Umbria, not the brand, but the place.
The place.
If, if you go there in this location, it's called Antoniola. There is a castle. So the resort is in front of a medieval castle. It's absolutely stunning. And you feel like you are in a fairy tale in that environment.
Oh, wow.
Because it's all, you know, olive trees, cypress, and oak trees. These are the main trees that you see.
Yes.
And it's on the hills. I mean, it really, when I went to visit the site, because it's a shell and core now, it was like a fairy tale. I felt like I was back into the books I used to read when I was a child, you know, these fairy tale books. So this is the type of feeling we wanted to be in this space. Like you are in a fairy tale.
It really feels like that, Valentina. Yeah. It does come through these images.
Yeah. And at the same time, you know, of course, the process is the same. I did the feng shui assessment, the land energy, setting up, you know, 2,200 square meters of floor plan with that, which took, it's a huge process because, you know, to fit all the requirements and
everything. Also the back of house that's required, right? For all the... You know, everything that you, all the stuff behind the scenes, basically, that makes a wellness and wellness space and hotel work really well. Lots of storage, right? Lots of back end rooms and the laundry and there's so much.
Exactly. So after that process, of course, you know, same there in that location, even easier to use natural materials because they're available there. So we have local
beautiful
stores. We have terracotta because there is a lot of terracotta there that is made by the artisan.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
The wood from the trees. And the idea, this wellness space is divided into three floors. So the idea is to take the guest from, you know, the basement floor, which is not a basement because there is still natural light, which is the first image with the swimming pool. That is where the design is very much earthy, like with a lot of stones and rocks, because we want the guests to ground in the space, do all the hydrothermal treatments of, you know, swimming pool, hot and cold plunge, saunas, infrared, and so on. So this is, we call it the primal way of healing. This is how we used to heal in nature, you know, when you go to a lake in the mountains, when you go.
Yeah.
This is just
a cave, like a cave with a water source. Yeah.
Exactly. So we wanted in the basement, in the hydrothermal, to have that feeling that you are in this, you know, primal space. It's very simple, but architecturally, you know, again, sacred geometry, proportions of the arches, of the shapes that you see and everything. Then you go on the ground floor above and you enter the fitness area. This is the space where you see this botanist apothecary with the wooden counter. With the greenery. That's when you arrive on that floor, this is what you see. This is an apothecary where they will make herbal teas with local herbs.
I love that. Yeah.
So it's before you go into the gym to do a yoga class, a sound healing session on this floor, you can pass by and get a tea with herbs in this space. So it needs to feel like an apothecary. And this is where nature becomes a sculpture. So this is where you actually start seeing wood and you see the tree as if it's laid as a counter. You see, again, all the sacred geometry for the arches and so on. And then you go on the first floor where you have the clinic and the therapy rooms where you do individual treatments. These spaces feel a bit more elevated. You start having, you still have the same stone, the same wood, but more elevated with a bit of, you know, terracotta floors, becoming more colorful, let's say. And where, for example, we have this dome that we're bringing in.
I love that. Is there going to be like gold, brassy?
Yeah, exactly. So we're.
I love that. Yeah, yeah.
That gold, brass, everything created with sacred geometry, like I explained for Akari. But of course, different proportions, different elements. And actually, the challenge of some of these spaces is that because the floor plan is so deep, it goes inside the mountain because it was excavated.
Okay. Okay.
We don't have natural light in some of these areas. So, for example, the dome, that it looks like there is natural light coming from the top, or the therapy room with the, you know, the circular light on the wall, it's actually not natural light. It's artificial light that we are creating to give that feeling. Yeah,
I because need to illuminate that space. Otherwise, there's just because it's in the rock, you're saying.
Exactly, which is beautiful. It's a nice location as well as the concept, but we still want to people to feel that it's direct light and directed in certain ways, as if there is actually a window there, but there is not. So basically, here you see the same principles applied for Akari. They're applied in this space, but it looks completely different because it's tailored to the client. And this is what I always say to all my clients. You know, when you work with architects that, you know, not the conventional architecture, when you work with architects that have an understanding of energy, of healing, of health, and well-being, it needs to be a very bespoke solution adapted to the client. If you sometimes open the profiles of these conventional architects where all the projects they do, they look all the same, the same style, same vibe, the same colors, that is something else. If they want that, they would go to conventional architecture if they want, you know, that look. But no, when you work with architecture that is integrative, that is healing, it needs to flow with the client. It needs to be bespoke to the location and to the intent of the project. You know
what? Yeah, not the ego of the architect. Not the fantasy style of that architect. It's a problem. It really is a problem that approach, Valentina, which is, you know, the dominant, what has dominated the architecture field for quite a long time. And in my opinion, it's because of the unhealthy, unprocessed masculine that was running the show for a long time. And I'm not talking about it as only men, but women can be an expression of that too in the architecture field. But what I want to say is, for example, one of my it was actually a potential client that I was interviewing. I actually interview and my clients before they work with me, and you know, they were talking about how they got a house, their house designed by a very famous architect. And they said, yeah, it looks great in the magazines. It's a great house. And then they pause and they say, it doesn't feel like our house, but it's a great house. Right. And so what I'm hearing you're saying, Valentina, is if you're going to work with it, and if you're working really with an architect who is truly talented and gifted with energetics, intuition, then, you know, they're really listening to what is truly needed for the place, right? For the property, for the soul of the client, whether they're a group, a leadership group, or a couple, or an individual, and that these designs are naturally birthing through that co-creation. It happens through a deep listening.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Wow. One thing I wanted to mention when I saw when you were talking about the fact that part of this project is nestled into the hill, I thought of I studied in Rome, in Italy with my in university for 4 months. I went to the University of Waterloo in Canada, very good architecture school, and we got to study in Roma for 4 months. And there was Emperor Nero. Nero doesn't have a very good Nero, right? Nero, he does not have a very good reputation. But his villas in Roma were all underground. It's something you might want to look into, Valentina. Maybe you already know about this place, but it was all underground, and the light was coming from above, and it had such a mysterious and beautiful quality. It was a bit eerie too, energetically walking through that space because he was quite a, I think of quite a vicious emperor, but so there must have been all kinds of weird stuff going on in in those grounds, residents of his But anyway, I just thought about that. So it might be a project you want to look into, a project and a very ancient project. Yeah, wow, Valentina, this is amazing. I'm gonna, is there anything else you want to share before I close the screen here?
No, I think that's all
It's
for this.
beautiful. Yeah, I'm
There's
excited to see this project get built. Yeah, and maybe even visit for receiving a spa, luxurious spa treatment.
You could retreat one of your retreats there because that place is magical. The ones it opens
Yes, I love that. I love that. Yeah. And the retreats that Valentina's talking about are the retreats that I lead for women architects at the ancient city of Ephesus. It is an incredible journey. Typically 5 days we go in person to visit the ancient site of Ephesus and the Temple of Artemis, which is one of the biggest power places in the world. And we get to immerse ourselves in the energies of that power place. So, yeah. Beautiful. Valentina, as we close today's conversation, I'd love for you to share about wellness. There's a lot about the wellness sector. There's a lot of women who are hearing the call to bridge spirit with form, and they're wanting to quit their jobs in conventional practice, whether they're leading their own business, whether they're working as an employee at a firm. I've been empowering and supporting women architects to cross the threshold and say and telling them, like this is, this is the future. And AI certainly cannot replace your intuitive gifts. The world needs you. The world needs your intuitive gifts. And I feel like wellness, the wellness field is very much a part of that picture, a part of the picture of their potential success. Can you share a little bit about where wellness is heading? And how that will support us to build a thriving new earth.
I mean, when it comes to, there is definitely a lot of talks and conversation about wellness in different industry, wellness spaces. And I think what I see, at least from my side, is a lot of new projects coming up with new type of spaces that are coming, like, social bathhouses. Social spaces where people go and instead of going partying, they do saunas. There is a lot of requests for wellness spaces for kids as well. So, I mean, I started this work 10 years ago and there was zero conversations and knowledge about this. Now it's completely, taking off in crazy directions. So I would say that definitely, this is I mean, there is no other sector, you know, in the future. I think it will only be everything about health and wellness. But like everything, when something becomes popular, becomes a trend, also you have to be careful where you go and to look out for, because there's a lot of wrong information, a lot of, you know,
Right.
wrong things, a lot of people that do it not with the right intentions.
Genuinely, right, not authentically. Yeah.
Every other industry. So it's the same. So
Yeah.
I would say, you know, it's always important to do research, study, follow your intuition on where you want to be, what you want to do. And that's it, really. But it is definitely that it is the present and it is the future. There is no doubt. There is no
Yeah.
doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's booming. It's absolutely booming. And thank you for being a role model and showing what's possible when you bridge spirit with architecture, energy with architecture. And I'm just so excited to see more of your incredible creations in the future.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. I love your work, and it's an honor and privilege to interview you today, Valentina.
Thank you, Aisha. It was super nice as always. And yeah, thank you. Thank you, really.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So before we close today's conversation, how can people get in touch with you to learn more about your work?
Website is energyandspace.org. And then there is Instagram, energy.and.space.
Yeah, we'll have all the links down in the captions of this podcast episode.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Valentina. Have a great rest of the day and lots of love from Türkiye.
You too. Bye. See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It is my intention to inspire more women architects to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to build a prospering architecture practice aligned with their divine calling. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a five-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with other women architects you know are feeling the nudges to bridge spirit with form. You can find out more about me and the Sacred Blueprint Movement by visiting AishaRoseMelodyHassan.com. Until next time.